And these small businesses, these historic buildings in downtown were being shuttered. They're being closed off. And and I think now there's this renewal with it. In about 1980, the National Main Street Center was developed, and that's really where a lot of this growth started. They found that if you had four things that you focused on, if you focused on design and made an area aesthetically pleasing, that would help bring folks down there. If you had good organization, where you had a lot of folks involved and trying to make good things happening in downtown, that would help out as well. You also had to do some growth, economic activity as well, and try to stimulate that. So by encouraging smaller businesses to kind of utilize these historic buildings, they found a great niche and a great way to adapt these historic buildings.
So, Mike Schatz, you've been in the game for a while. What do you think led to the downtown's kind of not being the focal points? I mean, in Eau Claire, we've got the Oakwood Mall, which is a huge, to this day, and will continue to be a huge draw for people. But before that, I mean, was there an active exodus from the downtown of Eau Claire, or was that before you were here?
Well, I got here about the time that most of the department stores were moving out of the downtown. So I think you hit it on the head that, there was this movement to the suburbs with the malls. Our better transportation routes, streets, and things allowed people to move out and use their automobile more. In our area, there was an emphasis on people who wanted to have their 5 acres in the country. And so, again, people moved out a ways and such. Deteriorating older buildings in the downtown, people weren't reinvesting in it, so newer was better, so they'd build outside. But the national trends lately show that the young people, the millennials, the baby boomers, all want to focus more on the downtown. I think there's a better knowledge of the carbon footprint we all leave, and so more emphasis on walking, biking, public transportation, being closer to work, being closer to the entertainment and the culture. I think people have just a limited spare time. And so they want to be where the action is, be closer so that when they're not working, they can take part in that. I think the generation of being so in tune with everybody else via the social media and such allows for people to be closer connected. A downtown does that for you when you're concentrated in a smaller area. They want an active life. A lot of downtowns have special features. Many of us have rivers or lakes in our downtown, and I think people have learned to use those assets better. People are fascinated with water, so redeveloping the waterfronts has been key. I think the neatness, the character of historic buildings and older buildings is another thing that people appreciate. So now they're coming back to try and saving those buildings when they can, when it makes economic sense. And, all of us like to hang out in a venue that has a cool features to it and character. And back in the day, we saw more architectural features in these older buildings.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other thing that I've seen is the younger generation wanting to have an impact on the downtown, want to build that arts culture, that music culture, and be part of the renaissance of downtown. So seeing these younger people invest, take risks has been very rewarding.
And the older buildings are definitely very cool, very hip, Younger folks probably, we've got Banbury in Eau Claire, which some great apartments I tried to get into at one point, but waiting list was hopelessly long. Jason Smith, the older aesthetic, the older buildings are very cool, but they're very expensive to redevelop. Is that kind of does that hamper a redevelopment plan if you want to really shake it up because it does add cost or not?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, redeveloping older buildings, you have a lot of issues with code compliance and just bringing it back from a deteriorated state. A lot of times these buildings were allowed to go downhill because they were losing tenants, getting back to what Derek was talking about and what Mike was talking about with the sprawl and the going to the malls and everything. We were losing businesses and things of that nature. And as a result, those buildings would sit there sometimes empty. And then when you do go in and have to rehab them, it gets expensive. But, you know, with the Main Street program and what happened back in the 80s is one of the things they were looking at is they looked at the malls and they said, you know, why are malls successful? And in a sense, it was because they're managed. They're very well managed. And they do have some rules they have to follow. Now, that's a problem in a downtown because your downtown business people are very independent. They don't want to be managed. They don't want to be told what to do. But Main Street looked at it from a perspective in pilot programs and putting the whole thing together is to say, how do you save buildings? How do you save these historic buildings? And the way to save them is by making them economically viable and having businesses in them. And so they did introduce the four-pronged approach from Main Street. They did bring a manager in. It's voluntary. It continues to be voluntary. But through this management where you have an organization in place that's basically advocating for downtown development and advocating for economic development efforts and things of that nature in a downtown on 365 days a year makes it viable and it really, really helps. But
Let's jump right into the Main Street program, and I want to go to Menominee first because a fairly new participant in that, or recognized as a Main Street city. The number to call in, though, 800-228-5615. I want to ask my listeners, when you go shopping, say for the holidays, I mean, are you looking to go to downtown? What kind of things bring you downtown, and is it a conscious effort to spend money locally versus going to a bunch of big box stores that are clustered in one specific location? Which is easier for you, or is it about convenience at all? 800-228-5615. Menominee. In July, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation selected Menominee to be the newest Main Street community in the state. What does that mean, and how big of a deal is that for the city of Menominee, Derek Orwig?
Yeah, it was a very rigorous process. We started off as a kind of a downtown type organization that administered our business improvement district back in 1990. So this year marks our 25th anniversary. So it was great to have this happen this year. But it's been a very rigorous process. We had to be able to show that we're gaining both public and private support in our downtown. So just started in July here. We're going to be working with some resource teams from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. We'll receive about $125,000 worth of support from staffers with the State Main Street Organization, consultants. We'll receive also about 80 hours of staff time as well, and they'll be working with some of our business owners, working with our organization, and we'll be tackling a number of different topics, but one of the first ones we'll be doing is focusing on design and trying to help improve the aesthetics a little bit of our downtown. Already, it's a very beautiful place. You have some just wonderful architecture, and we're right there, right on Lake Menomen. Mm-hmm. So it's very scenic. It's a great spot. But we're looking at doing a little bit more with some streetscaping and landscaping, and we'll be starting out on some of those plans right here in the first part of 2016. And our downtown is kind of unique. It's we have a lot more like the traditional shoppers and folks looking for services coming during the day and then at night because we're right next to the college. Mm. We have a lot of college students and youth from the surrounding communities coming down, and there's much more of a social scene at night as well. So it creates some challenges, but it's also wonderful that we have all these different uses happening right here in downtown Menominee.
You mentioned it's a rigorous process, Derek. What kind of things did the city have to do, or did your organization have to do to prove that you were worthy of this assistance?
Well, the application was fairly daunting. It was about 40 pages in length. Mm. And my predecessor, I just started with the organization at the end of July, mm-hmm. but my predecessor did a lot of the work, Brenna Long. We had to have a number of statements from the community really showing that evidence that we had that private and public support. And we had to show that it was an economically viable area as well. We have a very mixed use downtown. We have retail providers. We have our retail establishments. We have restaurants, and we have drinking establishments. We have a lot of neat things going on downtown in Menominee. So it's just not all one thing, you know, all retail or all bars or anything like that. It's stretched out.
I want to ask we've got UW Stout in Menominee. We've got UW Eau Claire in Eau Claire, obviously. How big of a push is that? How big of a help is that in attracting people to downtown? I mean, for Stout, it's pretty simple, pretty obvious because it's right next to downtown. Eau Claire, pretty much the same. So how does the influx of, you know, 10,000 or so students?
Well,
know?
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Would this be possible without? I mean, would it look different, I guess?
Well, I think it may be a little different just because you have all those that demographic right there next to the downtown. Mm-hmm. And the university is such a huge economic driver in Menominee and Eau Claire and other yeah. communities as well. So, yeah, I think it's great. It helps a lot with our residential units, you know, with students right there. I mean, we're all literally campus borders our downtown. And so you have a lot of shops that I think are frequent in, a lot of coffee shops, a lot of restaurants. And a lot of stores that appeal to really any budget, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's great with college kids.
And for Eau Claire, Mike Schatz, the University of Eau Claire, I mean, we've got 10,000-plus students that come and go. I mean, they obviously patronize things downtown or in the Water Street area, but are they the ones that are calling for more amenities like park space or any of that? Or are they just kind of pass through customers?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. A lot of the amenities that are being asked for are also by the baby boomers too. But I think the young people especially have been brought up in that culture of bringing back downtowns and being where the action is. And a lot of downtowns have that. Most of your downtowns have your uniqueness, your local restaurants and cafes and shops that you won't see anywhere else. It's not like the same stores that you see in the malls in all the communities. So when you really want to see what a community is about, go to their downtowns because that's where the really cool uniqueness is. Mm-hmm. But I think the demand for bike trails and the riverfront and revitalizing that comes from the, you know, all ages and all types of people. We are an outdoor city. Outside Magazine just named us fourth best, mainly because of all our music venues and our bike trails and our walkability and such. So I think you're seeing it across generations of people that are interested in riverfront and in downtowns and such. So I think that's helpful for all three of our communities.
Jason Smith, Derek Orwig of Menominee, of Main Street of Menominee, mentioned infrastructure projects, like simple things like street beautification or things like that. How much can that actually help with the development of a downtown? I mean, something as simple as a roundabout, perhaps, in Chippewa Falls.
Chippewa Falls is proof that it is significant in terms of economic development and stimulating business development, because you know, we haven't even really started yet to really build our downtown entrance park. We've done all the planning. We've worked on that for over 5 years now. It's taken us 5 years to assemble all the property and relocate some businesses and demolish all the buildings that were along the riverfront in Duncan Creek. And like I say, we haven't really even started building the park itself. We did two major parking lots that are associated with the park this year. But even not just doing the planning and putting the policy in place in terms of what the city is going to do has already attracted significant development in downtown Chippewa Falls. SEH, our architectural and engineering firm, would not have built a $4.5 million building in downtown Chippewa Falls if it wasn't for what the city intended to do with our downtown park. The Chamber wouldn't have done their new project with the Visitor Center. That's a excess of $1 million brand-new building in downtown Chippewa Falls. And just recently, we've signed a developer's agreement with Brian Wolgernice to build a 47-room hotel right across the street from the new SEH building and the new Chamber building. And again, he wouldn't even have thought about that if the city hadn't had their park plan in place. And as he said, we did buy the old plaza building that was deteriorated. It was empty. It was in very, very bad shape. And we tore the building down. And if the city hadn't put that in place, he never even would have thought about coming to Chippewa Falls. He's from the area. He was in downtown Chippewa Falls. He sees all the activity that's occurring in downtown Chippewa Falls, like it is in Menominee and Eau Claire. And he sees that empty lot, and that's where the lights went on. And he said, you know, I'd like to be a part of this. So it's very important.
Mike Schatz, City of Eau Claire, I mean, the example that's cited all over the place is the Phoenix Park. You know, it's a green space, a nice park. I mean, since the construction of that, we've seen all kinds of development happening with the RCU, JAMP software, et cetera. So Eau Claire is a testament, I guess, to the idea of green space and park space. I mean, again, it seems so simple, but in practice, it makes a big deal.
Yeah, I think investment in infrastructure like a park is very key to revitalization. And many of the developers that have come on board have stated because of what the city did in Phoenix Park, that attracted them to come and do some development downtown. So I think they go hand in hand together. You want to preserve the riverfront and the green space for your community, for your citizens. They all benefit from it. Our community has been very creative in how to use that venue of Phoenix Park, and things that we never suspected are being held there now. So it's so cool to see how the community has adopted that park, and it spurred such redevelopment. When we started, we had about $10 million of valuation in that park. We're well into the $65 million area now. We've got projects in the pipeline that are going to take us way into the $100 million of reinvestment in the area. So everything's worked out very well, and I think the park and the riverfront development was key to that.
And for Menominee, Derek Orwig, are there any plans that the city has to create any more park space or green space other than, because you mentioned the just kind of beautifying the streets and the entrances to the downtown, but anything else in the plans?
Oh, We're kind of exploring a few options here, you know, and we already have a small park right as you're coming in from the from the east side, and then there's certainly some access areas around the lake there as well. Right now, we're doing a survey, working with a lot of citizens of Menominee, and seeing how we can better adapt that lakefront and maybe, you know, do a little bit more work down there as well.
Definitely. 800-228-5615 is the number to call. We're talking about downtown development in the cities of Menominee, Chippewa Falls, and Eau Claire. Please call in and add to the conversation if you have any questions or comments, or if you'd like to share a story from your downtown or your neck of the woods. 800-228-5615. I'm Rich Kramer. This is The West Side. We'll be right back.
The Kathleen Dunn Show. Central Time. What do you know? These programs and many more are possible thanks to listener support. You can learn about WPR programs, schedules, and so much more at WPR.org. Thank you. Support also comes from Mayo Clinic Health System, bringing Mayo Clinic cancer care close to home with knowledge and collaboration from Mayo Clinic cancer specialists. Information is available at mayoclinichealthsystem.org.
You're listening to The West Side right here on Ideas 88.3 WHWC and 88.7 WRFW. I'm Rich Kramer. We're talking today about downtown development projects in the Chippewa Valley. 800-228-5615 is the number to call in. We've got wide open phone lines. I guess there's a call trickling in right now, but we'd love to hear from our listeners. I'm joined by Derek Orwig. He's the Executive Director of Main Street of Menominee. Jason Smith is the Chippewa Falls City Planner, and Mike Schatz is the Eau Claire Economic Development Administrator. 800-228-5615. Let's talk about anchors to a downtown. For example, I mean, we've got the universities in the two cities. There are historical buildings. It doesn't get more historical than the Mabel Tainter Theater. And how big of an anchor is that? And can the city build off of and try to focus on that and present it more than it already is?
Well, yeah, the Mabel Tainter Theater was built in 1889, right there in the middle of our downtown. Just a beautiful, beautiful building. And, there's been a lot of programs, a lot of great work that's been going on. They recently hired a new director, and there's been a lot of great momentum happening with the theater. This past fall, there was a special event that took place. It was in honor of an anniversary with Mabel Tainter, and we closed off part of Main Street and had some bands playing, some music, some heritage-type activities taking place. And it was a fairly well-attended event. And I don't know if it's something they're going to be doing in the future or not, but there is a lot of energy with Mabel Tainer. And with that event, there was a lot of spinoff, too, throughout the rest of the downtown. A lot of folks are coming down and spending the afternoon or spending the evening there. The establishments that were open during those hours, they were gaining a lot of business.
And we talked, Jason Smith, I believe, or maybe it was Mike Schatz, but someone mentioned, and I saw a lot of nodding heads, that downtown business owners are very fiercely individual, you know, people that they might not be the easiest to manage. But through this Main Street program, I know that maybe it's been happening for a while now that Main Street of Menominee is holding meetings and getting all the business folks together to talk. So what do you get out of that you can't get out of just one-on-one meetings with these individuals?
Well, collaboration is a great thing. And a lot of these business owners, they come with their unique skills and talents. They're very independent because, it's the nature of the game. They're independent businesses. However, we have these neighborhood meetings generally once a month, we have folks that come to those. We also are implementing listening sessions as well, trying to get some feedback. And we have a lot of committees that implement a lot of business owners as well.
I'm seeing some data here. There was a great series of articles that came out of the Chippewa Valley Business Journal. Fantastic articles, and this was really the seed for this program. Growth in Menominee: 15 new businesses, $13 million in new private investment. One of the projects. This was another WEDC award. It was a grant of $500,000 to the City of Menominee to expand a downtown grocery store. The co-op, it's a grocery store.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What?
No, it's very important. Grocery stores, studies show they're an important element to a downtown. It keeps folks from going into the suburbs. Folks who live downtown, there's a place where they can access food. It's no longer a food desert.
Right.
And the co-op's had success for a number of decades, and they just moved from their location in a historic building to a newer building that had a lot of space, but it's very compatible with the downtown, with the historic architecture in the downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. It was a very small building before, and now you can probably fit that like in the produce section, and it's amazing. And they have a tremendous amount of support as well.
We've also got Harvey Hall renovation, Trimble Dental. I mean, again, every little project, how does that help? Like something as simple as a dental office getting renovated or relocating.
Well, yeah, it brings folks to the downtown as they're coming down for a dentist to have their teeth cleaned or a dentist appointment. You know, they're more likely to engage some of the various businesses that are downtown, whether it's going to get their haircut or grab a cup of coffee or do a little shopping.
We're going to go to the phones now. We've got Audrey in Eau Claire on the line. Thank you so much, Audrey. What's on your mind?
Hey guys, fun show. So I used to live in downtown Eau Claire, and now I live up in the East Hill area.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I noticed about the downtown area is the city planning aspect of it. You've got the Sojourn House on one side and the Boys and Girls Club, and then a multitude of bars, Phoenix Parks, and a lot of professional buildings. And I'm curious what the ultimate goal as far as what the downtown will be for the community. Is it going to be a place for businesses, a place for rental properties, a place for kids to come to? What do people want ultimately out of the downtown area?
All right, Audrey, thank you so much for the call. Mike Schatz, that's your question.
All of the above. One of the beauties of downtown is the diversity that you have. In Eau Claire, we're the largest city in western Wisconsin. So we have a lot of the large banking, courthouse, city government, a lot of large office downtown. And that's been about 20% of our total employment in the city of Eau Claire comes to downtown every day for work. But what we're seeing increasingly more is the housing aspect. We've had probably about 240 new units recently of loft apartments. And that, again, has also been diverse from young professionals to older baby boomers. We want to keep building the nightly entertainment, the culture, the music, the art. We've got things in the pipeline that are going to enhance those type of things. But we also want parks and children's museums so that families feel good there. They can come to concerts. They can come to movies in the park, go to the various stores that cater to children and families, movie theaters. So it's really a place where we want to be something for everybody. We're not just focused on one specific area. So the smaller retailers with the large corporations of banking like RCU and credit unions and things like that, but also, university and young people, things for the elderly. We in our part of the downtown that is on the west side, we have Mayo Health Systems for our medical. We have a new redevelopment district there called the Cannery of 30 acres that we can build upon, being near the Ellie Phillips Center for older people. We could probably see some diversity of housing there with riverfront views. So, again, we're not focused on any one area, but we want it to be a place that everybody can come to and has amenities for everybody. So really trying to have something that will appeal to all ages and all types.
One thing I want to bring up, though, is with all this redevelopment, with all these new buildings, all these new lofts, I mean, they're fairly expensive. The rents are high. I mean, higher than some of the buildings that used to be there, I mean, years and years ago. Are we pricing people out of the downtown, people that may have been living there for a while? For example, in the West Bank area, a new park is planned there in Eau Claire, and I would imagine that could drive some rents up in the area.
Well, national trends you'll normally find your higher rental rates in your downtowns. I mean, even for going to the big cities, you'll see it there. So it's not really anything unusual for Eau Claire. I think the amenities that you have downtown justify a higher price. Plus, many of our new units are new construction. So, of course, you have your higher construction costs than you would have had 50 years ago, 60 years ago when some buildings were built. So I think that the demand shows that we're not, out of line because the buildings fill up as soon as they're built and we have zero vacancies in the downtown. But getting to your point of making sure that there is a type of housing, affordable housing for everybody, I think now is the time we can start looking at some of the low to moderate income, some of the elderly housing to give us that diversity that we want. And I think we have some areas where we can do that.
Getting back to Menominee, I wanted to ask the question to Derek Orwig. I mean, you've got these businesses, and the idea of when you're going to be sprucing up a downtown, if you're doing the infrastructure projects, you also want the storefronts to look nice. And that's up to the individual. That's a voluntary decision that they have to make. How do you spur that, and how big of a role in the whole downtown redevelopment is that? I understand Menominee, and I'm sure the other cities have a version of this, but a low-interest or a zero-interest loan program for situations like that?
Yeah, having facades which really tie into the historic character of a building is very important. It adds to that experience of folks coming downtown. And we in the past we've worked with the Regional Business Fund, and they have a zero interest loan program for facade development, and it has to follow the Secretary of the Interior standards for preservation. It needs to really tie in with the historical character of the building. And you take a look back, let's say in the 70s when folks started first redoing buildings that maybe had some changes to them in the 1950s or so, you see a lot of colonial type work being done to buildings, which just looks out of place on an 1880s brick building. So mm-hmm. It's important to make sure the work ties in with what the historic building is. And this loan program, there's been a gap with it right now. It's there's some challenges, but it sounds like it's going to be back up in place here after the first part of the year.
That's a federal program or a state program?
It was a state program. My understanding is it was receiving funds from the federal government, and there's been some challenges associated with that, just with the whole process with the funding and. There's a lot stricter guidelines at the federal level. So everything will be worked out here with it. But it's something that's been throughout western Wisconsin.
Now, looking to the future, what are some – can you give us the lowdown on some scoops that is going to be happening that are going to be happening in Menominee as far as development?
Yeah, hey, there's some great work that's going on at the corner of Broadway and Main. There's the old State Theater building, and there was an old 1880s brick building next to it. And they had suffered some maintenance issues, and they were definitely showing their age and lack of maintenance for some time. And we just had some new owners come in, and they have some big ideas, and they're doing a lot of rehabilitation work. The one brick building on the corner, they've actually taken part of a back wall off and have rebuilt it. Hmm. And they're preparing it for either retail or restaurant space on the first floor. And then the old theater building, they're looking at either an event center or possibly finding a tenant that can utilize an area with a stage and lots of seating, like possibly even a church or something like that. But yeah, they're going to be bringing it back in such a prominent corner. You know, I was afraid it was just going to be torn down and, you know, there'd be a gas station there or something like that. But mm-hmm. It's great that it's being preserved. And I've worked with the State Main Street program. The designation of being a State Main Street program, we have facade renderings that are available to us. So if we have a building that's, you know, the facade's been changed drastically over the years, or there's a lack of maintenance issues, or, you know, it's been painted some pretty funky colors, mm-hmm. we can bring in someone to help possible purchasers or even folks who already own the building to see what the potential of that building is. And Joe Lonizak is the fellow who does a lot of this work, and he does hand sketches, and with the building that was next to the State Theater, we actually found historic photos and were able to tie in what the facade would have looked like back when it was first built in the early part of the 20th century. And so it really gives a lot of guidance for when they're working on a project like this, how to make that facade complement the rest of the building.
Let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the city of Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire, some of the redevelopment, downtown development programs and projects there. I'm joined by Derek Orwig of Main Street of Menominee, Jason Smith of the City of Chippewa Falls, and Mike Schatz of City of Eau Claire. Number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. Still have lots of time and lots of phone lines open for you to get your question or comment in. We're talking about development in downtowns in the Chippewa Valley. This is The West Side.
It's easy to connect with WPR through our website, WPR.org. Click on About WPR to give us your feedback, send in news tips, or contact our staff. Join one of our online communities through Facebook or Twitter, or subscribe to a program podcast. WPR.org, we are not just on your radio.
Support for WPR comes from the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Foster Care Program, dedicated to helping thousands of Wisconsin foster kids connect with caring families. More about being a foster parent is at chw.org/TFC. Support also comes from Marshfield Clinic, dedicated to offering cancer care to meet the needs of each patient. Marshfield Clinic. Don't just live, shine. More information at marshfieldclinic.org/cancer.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning as we talk about downtown development in the Chippewa Valley. 800-228-5615 is the number to call in. We're talking about some exciting projects happening in Menominee, in Chippewa Falls, and in Eau Claire. 800-228-5615. Next week, we're going to have the Outdoor Guys on, talking about some rules and regulation changes for the 2015 gun deer hunt. Electronic registration is one of the biggest changes, and we're going to get the scoops from them and some special guests, I'm sure. So tune in next week. If you've missed part of this program about downtown development and would like to listen again, check out the online archives. Go to WPR.org, click on the Shows tab, and you'll find The West Side with Rich Kramer. Years worth of archives, so you can just listen in perpetuity. 800-228-5615. I'm joined by Jason Smith, city planner of Chippewa Falls, Mike Schatz, Eau Claire Economic Development Administrator, and Derek Orwig, Executive Director of Main Street of Menominee. To Chippewa Falls we go. Now, downtown Chippewa Falls we talked about the roundabout a little bit. We talked about the gateway, some of the buildings that came down. Let's talk more about this park, Riverside Park. How long have the plans been in the works for that, Jason Smith?
The city started talking about that actually back in late 1990s. We updated our comprehensive plan in 1999 and adopted that, and one of the recommendations in that plan was to look at doing a downtown entrance plan when the opportunity came to us. One of the issues that we had when I talk about opportunity is that we still had State Trunk Highway 29 coming through the city of Chippewa Falls.
Yeah.
And that literally thousands and thousands of trucks, semi-trucks, and obviously on weekends, Fridays, Saturdays, you had the tourist traffic coming through. And it was just a bottleneck. And to try and put a park in that particular location, that kind of with State Trunk Highway 29 dividing the park area that we're looking at from the downtown itself, trying to do something down there when the State Trunk Highway was going through there just wasn't pedestrian friendly, obviously, with all those trucks coming through there. But when the 29 bypass went in, that's the opportunity that we took advantage of. In 2007, we hired a consulting firm to kind of put a policy document together for us in terms of doing the downtown entrance plan. When that was adopted, that's when we started acquiring property. And for about the last 5 years, we have been acquiring that property, and we've accomplished that. We've assembled all of the property, demolished all of the buildings. This past year, we did hire SEH then as a follow-up 2 years ago to take that policy plan and actually put a downtown entrance plan together. So a very detailed plan that was actually going to involve the community, be very transparent in a very open public planning process to actually determine what we were going to build there. And that plan was adopted. And following the adoption of that, we did hire SEH then to move ahead with actually doing the engineering and putting the construction documents together to implement that plan. So that's going to be, we've done some of that already with the roundabout. We've built the two parking lots in downtown Chippewa Falls. Those are done. And this next year, we're going to be spending an additional about $2.5 million breaking ground in the spring to start the actual construction of the park.
So breaking ground in the spring, completion date?
That's unknown because the total project cost for doing everything that we want to do is probably over $10 million. And so it is going to be a multiple phase project. Everybody's excited about it. I know people want to get it done, but this first phase is going to be impressive. We're going to have things that will be done where people can actually use the park. You know, we don't want to just do underground work or just grading and just leave it like that, where things will be done, things will be opened up, and people will be able to touch it and use it. So
let's go back to the phones. We've got Kristen and Bridge Creek. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to – my husband and I moved here quite some time ago, and I'm a tenant, actually, at Banbury Place. And I just wanted to compliment all your guests in the city of Eau Claire for revitalizing their downtown, because coming from Milwaukee, which really, kind of had similar issues with a very run-down downtown and having the river and how it's changed over the years, I kind of saw that potential in downtown Eau Claire. And now that I've been here for a while, it's really exciting for me, moving from a larger city to a smaller city, to see all the things that are going on downtown. So it's really exciting for me, and it makes me want to stay here.
You're going to be moving into one of those new lofts that are going up?
No. I wish I could, but it's beautiful. I love walking along the river. It's a really good thing, and I think people have to realize the potential that we have here and how great it is. And I think hopefully, if we keep moving forward, we're going to have something similar to Stillwater or, some of those other nice little quaint towns along beautiful scenery and beautiful rivers. So
all
that's
right.
Just my comment.
Thank you so much for that, Kristen. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Now, let's talk about rivers. Mike Schatz, I'm going to go to you on this one. What is the deal? We've got these cities on these rivers, but yet the front doors of these buildings are facing away from the rivers. And now in Eau Claire with Phoenix Park, with with a Haymarket Plaza concept, and I want to talk to both Derek and Jason as well, but why is it taking this long for us to spin around, just to turn around and look the other way, look at the river, at the water resources that we have?
Yeah. Well, I think, were river towns that developed on them for other reasons, for transportation
business.
And business. And at that time, that's what our forefathers were focused on. And through the years, I guess we've seen the changes and learned more. I mean, not only transportation, but they would just dump their waste there too because it was convenient and such. So, you know, we kind of wonder what we're doing now that later on someone may say was stupid. But anyway, we've learned. And as I mentioned earlier, people are fascinated by waterfront. And being such a recreation-oriented Chippewa Valley that we are, we want to utilize those areas for biking and hiking and running and all those different things you can do along a riverfront, and the connectivity that it gives from the neighborhoods to the downtown by using the bike trails and such is a very much a priority of ours. So we're real fortunate, all three of us, that we do have some waterfronts that can help us in our revitalization efforts, and having assets like that are very key to our efforts.
Speaking of water, I want to talk to Derek Orwig about the water in Lake Manoma and Lake Taner. Obviously, there's been problems with algae blooms, and if the wind is right in the summer, that can be quite a nuisance for the city. Does that hamper folks coming to downtown to spend their money or to set up shop at all?
Not really.
Okay.
It's a lot of the downtown is just a little off to the side of the lake a little bit.
Sure.
So there we have a block or so, a couple blocks, which overlook the lake. But yeah, it can be challenging at times. But yeah, a lot of it's a little further down the way.
Sure.
So it helps a little bit.
And there are plans in the works. I mean, there have been studies upon studies on how to address it, and hopefully someday that they can straighten that out. Let's go to Hayward. We've got callers pouring in right now. It's kind of tough towards the end of the program to get them all on the air, but we'll do our best. Ernest and Hayward, you're on.
One way to encourage economic development would be to change the property tax to a land tax, and I don't mean decrease the total amount of tax. I mean to just tax land and not in land improvements, and that way you'd be discouraged from holding on to vacant land, but you wouldn't be penalized for a building. Would this require state approval? I'm sure it would, by legislation or maybe a constitutional amendment.
That's a great question. I don't have any idea about that. Anyone in the studio want to take a stab at it? Mike Schatz is going to do it.
I'll try. But I guess in downtowns, we really don't deal with a lot of empty vacant lots. I think, you know, we're a small geographic area in the downtown. So at least, you know, in Eau Claire, we haven't had to deal with people sitting on a vacant lot. In fact, there's so much demand for buildings downtown and such, we don't have near enough answers for people who want to buy downtown. But I think going to the an example in our community is going to the Cannery District on the west side and going north along the Chippewa Valley or Chippewa River. We are trying to bring more uses that are appropriate for downtowns than in the past, where it was a lot of industrial was set up on the riverfront. Nowadays, I think from planning and zoning aspects, you want to have specific areas, industrial parks, business parks for that type of activity, giving you some buffers from the neighborhoods and things like that. So we are changing some of the older industrial uses to more of the urban, high density, mixed use. And that's what we're seeing a lot downtown. The investment that's coming in, I think, is we're very happy with it. We like to see that developers realize the financial impact they can have downtown, and we're seeing lots of different developments in the pipeline. So we think we have years and years of great projects coming.
Let's take our final call of the morning. Let's go to Tom in Eau Claire. You're on the air. Thanks so much.
Thank you for letting me talk. I just want to compliment. Hi, Mike. Hi, Jason. Compliment Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls on their riverfront developments. I think Eau Claire has done quite a bit, and Chippewa Falls is well on its way. I think Menominee should look at its lakefront. I think that's a jewel for the city of Menominee. It's lakefront there right near the downtown, and they need to provide some sort of traction along that lakefront I just want to mention that 2 weeks ago, family friends of mine came from Florida to Eau Claire. We took them downtown to the park downtown, and they were truly impressed. Now, these are people from six cities in Florida. And it was a nice, free, open-air event, and we took a lot of pictures with them in the farmer's market area with the statues and stuff. And I know it was they really were impressed with Eau Claire. And I think Menominee has this jewel of a lake there, and they need to just put some sort of free, open event. Something there for people to do on the weekends. That's all.
Okay, thanks so much, Tom. We appreciate the call. Real quick, Derek, farmer's market downtown on the lake, anything like that?
Yeah, we're actually going to be redeveloping our farmer's market here in Menominee. It'll be just in the downtown area.
Sure.
I'll be kind of over there by where the city hall is.
All right, excellent. Now, Mike, you've got 7 minutes or 3-4 minutes to talk about all the things that have happened in Eau Claire. Let's talk about hotels. Lismore, Green Tree, just got a $500,000 grant from WEDC. What is going on with hotels in the Chippewa Valley? There's like 100 new hotels.
Well, a lot of that is, key transportation routes where you're seeing somebody want to have a hotel for catching the traffic on the Bypass 53 and such. A lot of new investment where some of our older hotels were not putting that investment in. But now you're seeing a complete change on that. Downtown, we're just ecstatic about the groups that are renovating the Lismore and the former Green Tree, the Oxbow Hotel. We think that'll bring more people staying downtown, visiting the shops, more convention businesses, so more of the tourist aspect. But both of the places, what they're doing is so tied to our community, the arts and music and such like that. It's going to be a great place for us to hang out too. So they're going to be signature places that we're all going to want to just go to. So we're really happy about that. We have the Confluence project going on. Haymarket Landing is well into their project. We have the four-story parking ramp, which will give all the success we've had in bringing buildings downtown. Now we'll solve the parking. The former Hipch building is being renovated. The Lazy Monk is going into the old Charleston building.
Excited for that.
And then in the pipeline, we got the Performing Arts Center, proposals for Block 7 and the Liner Block, the Cannery District, UWEC's Special Events Center, the YMCA's
Look
new building,
go.
Aquatic Center. So, I think I'm set for projects for the next 5 years.
That was marathon. I appreciate that. So how big of a deal is it to have young, influential people like you got your Halmstead, you've got Justin Vernon, you've got Ben Richgruber, you've got Nick Meyer. I mean, how big of a push, how much momentum does that give to making the downtown redevelopment cool again?
Well, that's a good way of putting it, is cool. It's so rewarding to have the private sector right there with the city and the redevelopment authority doing this. Charlie Grossclaus was the visionary that kicked it all off with RCU's new corporate center.
Right.
Jeff Moding has done a lot of the buildings. Stuart Schaefer, now these young people. What's really neat about these young people is some of them are North High School, Memorial High School, Regis High School graduates. They're UWEC graduates.
Sure.
So seeing that we keep some of our grads and they invest in downtown, we've got some new people. Rebecca Cook just opened Red's Mercantile downtown. You're just seeing our own community, our own people really excited about what's going on. They want to be part of it. They want to help out, and they're willing to put their own funds at risk.
So you've got all this development. You're good for the next 40 years. So then Eau Claire is just set that once we have the Confluence, once all these hotels are done, just chill.
Well, I think these amenities that you're seeing, the Performing Arts Center, new Special Events Center, those are all the investments that you need to keep attracting people, plus keep the talented people here that you want to live and work and play. So I think that investment, the city invested in the new streets downtown, Barstow Street. We put in new infrastructure. We turned them to one-way, the one-ways to two-way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing all from all aspects, from the public sector to the private sector, and I think it's just working. And we are on such a roll, and the momentum is building and staying there that just – so rewarding to see the community behind our efforts.
A lot of exciting things happening in all three cities, Menominee, Chippewa Falls, and Eau Claire. It's great to hear about it. Thank you, gentlemen, for your conversation. Derek Orwig is the Executive Director of Main Street of Menominee. Jason Smith is the Chippewa Falls City Planner, and Mike Schatz is Eau Claire's Economic Development Administrator. Thank you for your conversation very much. Also, great calls and great questions. We've got one just coming in right now. Not going to happen. Sorry about that. Thanks for listening, and thanks for taking part. Next week, we'll have the Outdoors Guys on to talk about deer season 2015. I'm Rich Kramer. Until then, have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.